Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is a great pleasure to see you all this morning. This is a joyful and loving congregation, and it is my pleasure to serve you. You are all welcome here, each and every one of here, whether you walked in or ran in or rolled in. You are welcome, whether this is your very first time or you've been coming for 50 years. You are welcome no matter who you love or the flags of your heritage. You are welcome if your heart is bursting and full with joy this morning, or if you are sitting with a broken heart. You are welcome to this loving community. This morning is our traditional in-gathering service, and we're going to have children with us for the first time in 2.5 years. And that is a great delight. And so for this service, everybody needs a glass of water or some water that you can actually drink. If you brought water to pour into our basin as part of the in-gathering service, having that is good as well. You might not want to drink that, though. So, and also a pencil and a piece of paper would be wonderful. So if you're at home, please gather these things during this beginning part of the service so that you have them with you, because you are welcome to engage with the pieces of our ritual this morning, too. You can stay standing if you want to. We're going to do the children's chalice lighting this morning. I will do the symbols, and you can do them right after me, all right? We light this chalice.
We light this chalice.
To celebrate Unitarian Universalism.
We are a church of open minds.
Loving hearts.
Loving hearts.
Helping hands.
Helping hands.
We take care of the earth.
We take care of the earth.
And each other.
And each other.
And we can say the affirmation. If you want to keep standing, we've got more to stand for, so. We can say the affirmation. Let us open our eyes
to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous.
Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious.
Let us open our hearts to
love one another
and our neighbors.
So it's water communion, so we're going to call in the rain. We're going to make rain together. So we're going to start by rubbing our fingertips together. And snap. So I'm going to tell you a story this morning that is from the Sufi tradition. It has been retold many, many times. And the recent, I adapted this from an adaption by Kristen Gratzel Schmidt, another UU minister. So there was a river, a small stream, that came rolling down through the mountains and through the valleys. And it was a happy stream. It loved all the places it could go and all the ways that it could change. It would change from a little rivulet through the forest into a big river. It would become a little puddle. And the best was when it was a waterfall, cascading down and falling. It was beautiful. It was so fun to be this little stream. And always in its heart, it had this pull to the sea. It knew someday it would reach the vast sea, and it heard beautiful, wonderful stories about that ocean. But one day, it was flowing along, and it came to the desert. And it just couldn't cross the desert. Every time it would try to flow out into the sand, it would just sink away and be stuck. So it sat at the edge of the desert, wondering what to do. It tried everything it could think of. It planned, and it focused, and it read books, and it just could not get across that desert. And then one day it heard the small, still voice of the wind. "Let me carry you across the desert." "What?" said the stream. "Aren't you like the air? How could you possibly carry me across the desert?" "Well," said the wind, "you would have to trust me. I can't really explain it to you. You just have to let go and trust me." The stream was not into that. Like, it would have to let go of control and plans and ideas, and, you know, it wasn't ready for that. Always before, if it made, it could see where it was going. It could see the waterfall before it went down. This was completely out of the stream's idea of what was possible. But after a while, the stream was so desperate that it said, "Okay, let me, take me. I will let go. Take me to the sea." And so that wind, it just lifted up that stream like a parent lifts a baby into its arms and carried it out across the desert in the air. And it was beautiful. The stream saw itself in ways it never had, in little tiny diamond droplets. And then it noticed that there were so many other streams that also were in the clouds in tiny little droplets. And then the air turned it into a rainbow, which was the most beautiful way that the stream had ever been in its life. And then the stream began to fall, and it fell with all the other droplets into a big raging river that went to the sea. And the stream was perfectly happy. The end.
Good morning. I'm Kim Transier. I'm a lay leader here at WOOF. Here at WOOF, we drink from wells we did not dig, as we've said for years. And we are grateful to all the stewards this land has had, all who have cared for this place that we now call ours. WOOF exists because of the generosity and commitment of those who came before us, and its future depends on our commitments now. We're going to have a musical interlude during which I ask you to consider the gifts you have to offer the WOOF community, whether it be financial support or the special gifts of your time and talents. We're grateful for your offering. If it do be financial support, if you're watching from home, you'll see instructions on your screen. And if you're here in this room after today's service, as you leave the room, you will see someone holding a basket in the foyer. During the musical interlude, if you don't have a cup of water that you can drink from, volunteers will be coming around with pitchers to give you some water. Don't drink it yet. This is for the water communion ceremony that's coming up later.
This morning, we're going to share part of the Thanksgiving address from the Haudenosaunee. And you might have heard of the Thanksgiving address in the book Braiding Sweetgrass, if you've read that book. So this was gifted to all the people of the world by the Haudenosaunee, who are a people of northeastern North American indigenous people. And so I'm going to read just a little bit of it. It's actually very long. It takes like an hour, which we're not going to do the whole thing. Which meets our very American sensibilities. And when I pause, we're all going to say together, "Now our minds are one." So, and I'll cue you. "So today we have gathered, and when we look upon the faces around us, we see that the cycles of life continue. We have been given the duty to live in balance and harmony with each other and all living things. So now we bring our minds together as one, as we give our greetings and thanks to each other as people. Now our minds are one. We are thankful to the Mother, the Earth, for she gives us all that we need for life. She supports our feet as we walk about upon her. It gives us joy that she continues to care for us as she has from the beginning of time. To our Mother, we spend thanksgiving, love, and respect. Now our minds are one. We give thanks to all the waters of the world for quenching our thirst, providing us with strength and nurturing life for all beings. Water is life. We know its power in many forms: waterfall and rain, mists and streams, river and ocean, snow and ice. We are grateful that the waters are still here and meeting their responsibilities to bring life of all creation. With one mind, we send our greetings and our thanks to the Spirit of Water. Now our minds are one. So please call into the sanctuary now, or write into the UU chat, or into your living room, that which you are grateful for. Maybe it is a great joy, or maybe it's so ordinary you forget how it sustains or brings happiness to your life. What are you grateful for? So I light that candle this morning for all that is heavy in our hearts and in our minds. I want to acknowledge particularly that this is the 21st anniversary of 9/11, in all that ways that attack created pain and fear that still affects us today, as well as remembrance for all the amazing courage that was shown to so many during that difficult time, and still is. I also want to acknowledge the death of Elizabeth II, which has touched people across the world. It is complicated, as she was both a symbol of colonialism and a world order devastated and destructed by colonialism, as well as, by many accounts, a very decent person who served steadily as a non-anxious presence for her people and many others through vastly changing times. If you are holding anyone in your heart today, please say their name or write it in the chat.
This is the story of the first water communion. I speak now of a time of great changes, of the ebb and flow of an ever-advancing tide and of the long, slow swell of the sea. The women were rising. The women had always been there, of course, from the beginning, across the globe, down through the ages, in the homes of their families. The women fetched the water, gathered and prepared the food, made the clothes, tended the fires, and cared for the children, the sick, and the old. In this country, through centuries, in the sacred places of their communities, the women cleaned the buildings, decorated the altars, brought the food, sang in the choir, helped the poor and the needy, and listened from the pews. From the beginning, the women had been there. But mostly they had been silent, and mostly they had held no power. Mostly, the decisions had been made by men. No more. The women were rising with the long, slow swell of the sea. In the year 1977, a group of women gathered around a butcher block in the kitchen of the Unitarian Universalist Church in Lexington, Massachusetts. They decided that the women should be and would be heard. That summer, the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly agreed to their proposal, and the Women and Religion Resolution was formed. Through their efforts over the next few years, our association's bylaws were updated, our songs were revised, our principles reframed so that the word he became he and she, and man became people. A seventh principle was added: respect for the interdependent web of all life, man and woman, female and male, stones and butterflies and trees. The words weren't the only thing to change. People's ideas were changing too. For the women were rising and the tide was flowing over the land. In 1980, a great gathering was held, a convocation on feminist theology, and people came there from all over the land. Two women, Lucille Longview and Carolyn McDade, created a ceremony of water sharing. For the women were rising and the waters had carried them there. From the mouth of the Mississippi River, from the Atlantic and the Pacific, the women and the waters came and collected. From the mountains and the deserts, from the rivers and the streams, from drops of rain, the women and the waters came together. From the oceans of the ages, from the ancient womb of life that created us all, the women and the waters came. In a circle of hundreds they gathered. In a circle of hundreds they sang. In a circle unbroken they listened to each other's stories, and they listened to the waters as they fell. The women came forth with water, with waters from all over the land, and they mingled their waters together in a great earthen bowl. Then, as each had given to the waters, each took from the waters. In this taking, they reclaimed the water. In this taking, they reclaimed the earth. They reclaimed their history. They laid claim to the future and the future of all living things, a vow and a promise to each other and to themselves. In their circle of hundreds, they sang, "We're coming home." The women were rising and the waters were rising, and great changes were sweeping over the land with the long, slow swell of the sea. The women and the men and the children were all coming home. And now I invite WWF's choristers to come up. Our director, John Bowling, is not able to be with us today, and Dan Boyce, a member of the choristers, is conducting us.
I just love that. I have to tell you, that's one of my favorites. I stand before you with just this feeling of awe. There hasn't been this many people together in our sanctuary since I was installed on March 8, 2020. So, I just want to say we're here. We're together. So for two Septembers, we've been unable to meet at all for this Unitarian Universalist ritual, water communion, or water ceremony, or water ritual. There is debate, as I think you all know. So this ritual came out of change, of women rising up to claim their voice in our faith, demonstrating their shared power, and we've seen how it has blessed us all. This ritual also represents stability. Each year we come together and pour out our water from different places, from different emotional and spiritual states, to show how we belong to one another. Our waters and ourselves are mingled together in community. Now, during this third September of the pandemic, we are finally here together. Not everyone who was here before, though, is here now. We are different. Some of us are gathered here in the sanctuary wearing masks. Others are watching online. Over half of you are watching this recorded during the week. Our choir director is not here this morning because he has COVID. A reminder that COVID is still here. We are different. Some of us now live with the pain of a loved one's loss. Others have bodies that have been changed by the disease, making our lives difficult. We are different. Many of you who were not here three years ago at Water Communion and are with us today. Other faces are gone. Beloved Wolfers have died. Others have moved. Still others disappeared as their disconnection from this community became just too long. Our administrator, such a bedrock to this community for 7 years, has retired. We are different. Most of us carry some kind of trauma that we did not have before. There are seats up here in the front for people if you would like to be with us. I know that always feels awkward, but we are happy to have you here. Most of us carry some kinds of trauma that we did not have before, from loss or fear or loneliness, uncertainty, changing politics and changing climate. We hold this in our bodies as anger or fatigue or inability to commit, apathy, anxiety, and in so many other ways. Our wants and needs for Woof have changed as well. We are different. We can no longer hold beloved rituals such as joys and sorrows with individual sharing because we post our services on the internet now. In a time of labor shortages, we are struggling to find childcare providers for our youngest children. We are different. We can all Zoom. We can stream worship services. We can have multi-platform meetings. We can reach people who are far away or ill or just feel unsafe or can't come to services or meetings for any of many, many reasons. And we don't have to drive to meetings if we don't want to. John Lovin. Okay. We are different, but we are here. We are here. In the last few weeks, I have been to meetings with people in this congregation who are passionate, enthusiastic, and full of energy for this amazing congregation. People seeking gifts of congregational life have been pouring through our doors as visitors. We matter. In this chaotic world where we cannot predict what will happen next, we matter. We matter because we make central to this place love and community, which we all need for good, fulfilling lives. We care about inclusion and caring for one another. We are about gratitude for our lives and this glorious, remarkable, miraculous planet. Here we remind ourselves that each and every one of us, you specifically, are worthy of love, of care, and affection, and so is every other person. We are here because we help each other grow in love. We help each other become so that we can experience with open hearts this amazing, frustrating, challenging life that each of us was gifted. There's a story called the Garden Story for short that I've been musing on a lot, and if you're in leadership here, I've asked you to muse on it. The story asks us to imagine that our congregation is a garden, and a great flood, the pandemic, came and washed everything away. And when the waters receded, leaving mud and rain, it also left surviving plants and other new, unexpected things that flowed in with the flood. Right now we ask, what in our congregation survived? What is flourishing? And what is forever gone? What is possible now that was never possible before? It is a time to be curious and playful. It is a time to ask questions and pay attention and speak the truth and laugh together and cry together. It's time to experiment and just try new things to see what happens. Next week, we're going to try a new way of acknowledging our joys and our sorrows. We are trying to imagine new ways to include those who watch services to be more within our community life. We are trying new things with our kids. We are here, and we get to decide what happens next, which is exciting and fun, as well as a little anxiety-producing. But we're going to focus on, you know, the fun and the playful and the joyful. I chose the two stories that you heard this morning because I think they can both help us think about this time of change. The story of water communion is of a story of women deciding that their participation in Unitarian Universalism must be more central. They insisted that sexist language be removed from all of our things and proposed the seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And this is now considered one of our foundational principles that we all stand upon. These changes were not easy. Many protested them. They found the pronoun changes ridiculous and the reference to people instead of men absolutely unnecessary, since we all knew that men just meant everyone. It took years to process and finally make that transition. It wasn't easy. But women prevailed and thus changed our faith for the better. Almost 40 years later, people of color are rising in our faith. They have asked that their experiences be included in the wisdom of who we are as a tradition. They have asked that we add the eighth principle, which reads that we will journey towards spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community that accountably dismantles racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. This would be a big change as well. It is a different sort of principle, asking for accountability when the others only ask that we affirm them in a general way. Conversations about the eighth principle are part of the process of discerning what it means when people of color rise up and demand to be included fully, rather than to just have to fit in into a faith that was created by and for white people. We don't know today all the ways that this will change us. Just as we couldn't imagine all the ways that 40 years ago when women rose up that we would be changed. But I imagine that these changes will help us grow in love. Water communion is such an important story about our faith and who we are, because we are a tradition that changes. Our tradition is, in fact, that we change every time we learn that there is a new way to open our hearts more widely and love more completely. So what does that mean for WOOF now? It means that what happens at WOOF is about rising to what brings you joy and brings us all more joy, love, and justice. So what makes your heart sing? What brings you joy? Also, what breaks your heart? What do we all need to see that we cannot see right now because of the frames and constrictions of the way that we perceive the world? What do we need to do to love more? What do we need to rise into? The story about the stream is a Sufi tale. This also is a story about change. The stream changes as it flows over the land, but when it comes to the sand, it cannot get over it to the sea. When the wind offers to carry the stream across, it does not want to go. It can't imagine that future. It can't give up control. It does not want to enter the unknown. It is too terrifying. Finally, though, when options run out, the stream lets go, and the wind carries it across the desert. The experience is beyond anything the stream could have ever imagined. It wasn't anything that the stream could have ever planned. It was glorious and transcending. The stream did arrive at the sea, but knowing itself and its community in a new and wondrous way. 2.5 years into this pandemic, we are here. We are here knowing we are different, and we are here knowing that we matter. I have no doubts that we will rise up making plans that grow more love. Sometimes, though, we may just have to let go and let the wind carry us and have faith that we will reach the sea. And may we, in the letting go, discover ourselves and this community in new and amazing ways. Amen. We will now have our water ritual. Share this mic and figure this out. Okay.
Our water ritual will connect those in the sanctuary with those at home and all of you with each other here. The ritual was adapted from one that was written by Elizabeth Stevens at the UU Church of the Palouse. On Friday and Saturday, some of you came here to Woof and poured water from your summer journeys into a shared common bowl. We begin today by combining those waters with the waters of past years in this empty bowl. Hopefully you all have some water with you now from your journeys, from your home, or from the sink downstairs. The water you have represents the water that connects us all. If it came from the faucet, it came from the Bull Run watershed, a protected area to the east of here that holds rain and natural spring water in such quantity that supplies the entire Portland area with water. The water you hold before you connects you to the earth. Since all the water we have comes from the earth, it connects us to each other. We're doing water communion today in four parts. Each part will have time for reflection, and each part will ask you to take a sip of your water. If you're in the sanctuary, you'll also be invited each time to come up and pour some water into the bowl if you feel moved to do so.
First, we'll think about drops of rain falling on parched earth. Imagine you are the ground, dry and dusty.
Imagine you are a plant, brown and brittle, barely alive.
Imagine you are a villager in a place where the well has run dry. You haven't been able to take a bath or wash your clothes. You've barely had enough to drink, and your throat is scratchy and sore.
Now imagine that the rains come.
What are the places in you that are dry and parched? What are you wanting, craving, needing to receive in order to be whole and happy? Or you may ask, what in our congregation is dry and parched? What does Woof need? I invite you to take a couple of minutes and reflect on these questions. Take a slow drink of water. This connects you to the earth and each other. If you wish to write something on your card or share with someone near you, please do. If you are in the sanctuary, you may come forward and pour some water into the basin if the rain or parched earth speaks deeply to you. This may be the water that you brought with you today from other places.
Of a lake. Sorry, I forgot I was wearing that. The lake water is clear and cool, but not too cold. The air smells fresh and green. The sun sparkles on the water.
You walk into the water, feeling soft sand beneath your toes. You take it slowly, easing in, first your toes and then your feet, then slowly, slowly up your calves to your knees, up your thighs. Keep going deeper until the water is past your belly button. Then you take a deep breath and dunk under. As you come back up, feel the stress roll off you like water does.
And now that you're all wet, imagine lying back and feeling the water support your whole body. No place to go but here, nothing to do but be.
What are the things that support you and buoy you up what comforts you and helps you find rest and peace, or if you prefer, what supports this congregation and makes it buoyant. I invite you to reflect on these questions. Take another slow drink of water. If you wish to write something on your card or share someone with near you, please do. If you're in the sanctuary and this speaks to you, lying in the still water without stress, speaking to me, you may come up and pour some water, or you may pour in the water that you brought with you this morning. Later, if you wish to put the cards up here after we've done all four, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, you can keep them or for reference.
For the third part of Water Communion, we're going to think about the ocean, the way it wraps all around our planet, like a loving, living blanket. When you stand on the shore, it extends out as far as your eyes can see.
It is vast, mysterious, and powerful.
When it rises, it transforms the shore, taking away the old, creating the new.
What is rising powerfully within you? What is rising powerfully at Wolf? I invite you to reflect on these questions. Take a slow drink of water. Write something on your card. Come forward and pour water if you wish.
For the fourth part of Water Communion, let's imagine you're a stream flowing toward the sea.
Quickly down the hills you run, creating waterfalls and rock ponds, trickling around trees and gliding through the grasses. You conquer every kind of countryside on your journey to the sea. That is, until you reach the desert.
You begin to cross that desert with as much confidence as you travel through every other kind of land, but soon you find that no matter how hard and fast you run, you just disappear into the sand. You know you must cross the desert, for beyond the desert is the sea.
After what seems a long time, you hear a voice. It is a still, small voice of the wind. "I can take you to the sea," says the wind. "Come with me. I'll carry you to the ocean shore." Is there something happening in your life where you are stuck in the sand? Or where you see Wolf stuck? May you let it go and let the wind carry you. Might we let go and let the wind carry us? I invite you to reflect on these questions. Take your last slow drink of water. If you wish, write something on your card, or share with someone, or come forward and pour some water into the basin. source of all, who embraces and sustains all life. This water which we have collected and shared holds the mystery and miracle of love. May this water, blessed with the love of this community, bless each of us. May our own bodies, filled with the rivers of sea, water, and breath, be blessed with life energy, with wellness that carry us through our days. May our home, this blue-green planet, this water planet, covered in seas and lakes and rivers and glaciers and ice caps, be held in sacred keeping, blessed through our stewardship and care as we strive to bring our gifts to this beloved community and to this difficult, beautiful world. Let us never doubt the strength of our hearts, nor the depth of our love for each other and the earth. We may rise and sing 1064 Blue Boat Home. It's in your teal hymnals. If you are at home, sing along as best you can. Starts with a drop, then a trickle, a burble, a rush of water bubbling towards its destination, and finally the wide, endless sea. Today you shared in the sacred community. May your hearts be filled with hope for new beginnings, a fresh start for this community, where rivers of tears may be shed, where dry souls are watered, where your joy bubbles, where your life cup overflows. Where deep in your spirit you have found in this place a home, all rivers run to the sea. We will now extinguish our chalice until we meet again, but it does not go out, as long as we carry its flame in our hearts. The light of Unitarian Universalism warms and brightens the world.
Carry your flame.